evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the INMO is dismissing comments from the Health Minister that their pay demands would send the public finances into an unsustainable spiral. Seilte issues a statement today saying the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy. The INMO say that their resolution will continue. 27,000 patients nationwide have had their appointments cancelled. Donegal County Council has confirmed preferred routes have been identified for the TEN-T road network in the county. They're promising more public consultations. However, residents in Dromore and Letterkenny say they fear that houses there face demolition. And later in the bulletin, at around 5:15, we'll have the sports news with Kenny Harkin. That's coming up with the rest of today's news. But we start with the ongoing nurses' strike. The INMO is dismissing comments from the Health Minister that their pay demands would send the public finances into an unsustainable spiral. Nurses want a 12% pay rise, which the government says would cost €300 million and cannot be met. 37,000 INMO members are on strike for a third day, leading to the cancellation of 25,000 patient appointments and reduced cover in emergency departments. Minister Simon Harris told the Dáil the stakes are high and he wants a resolution. The INMO's General Secretary, Phil Ní Hé, said she believes that can be found within the existing public sector pay deal. Meanwhile, Seilte has issued a statement today saying the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy, with people asked to attend the emergency department only in the case of real emergencies and to contact their GP or GP out of hours service in the first instance. Seilte say the industrial action by the INMO is having a significant impact on patient services across all the hospitals in the group. The industrial action is taking place at all public hospitals, healthcare facilities and community healthcare services. It started at 8 o'clock this morning and lasts until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Seilte say they're continuing to work with the INMO on arrangements for the day to secure safe service provision. Scheduled outpatient, inpatient and day surgery appointments have all been cancelled. Meanwhile, it's emerged that nurses left the picket line outside Falkara Community Hospital today to assist a person who'd collapsed close by. Nurses stayed with the person and waited for the ambulance to arrive at the scene. Nationally, the government says 27,000 patients have had medical appointments cancelled as a result of the action. The HSE says some cancer surgeries haven't been carried out and reduced cover in emergency departments meant long delays in admitting patients, and that situation continues into this evening. In its contingency planning, the teams from the HSE are meeting the INMO every 2 hours to ensure there are safe staffing levels in hospitals. The Health Minister, Simon Harris, says those who can ensure a safe level of service, however, are outside the hospital on the picket line.
I'm sure many of us have had the opportunity to see nurses on the picket. People have beeped their horn in support. But what struck me as I passed were the chants that I heard proclaiming the need for safe staffing. While the key staff essential for running the services in the building behind them are outside on the picket line, there has to be a better way to do our business.
Well, there's further pressure on Minister Harris from Fianna Fáil this evening, with the party saying very serious questions may need to be asked about what the Dáil has been told about the rising costs of the new National Children's Hospital. Fianna Fáil's health spokesperson wants to know when Simon Harris was made aware of the scale of the overruns. The minister says he found out about the total figure in November, but new documents show senior officials were aware of a €400 million overrun from September. Fianna Fáil's Stephen Donnelly wants to know why there was such a delay in letting the public know about the overruns.
What we have found out today for the first time is that a figure of nearly €400 million was aired in mid-September and that the Secretary General of Health chaired that meeting. The question now is whether or not the Secretary General shared that information with the Minister. If he did share that with the Minister, then there are very serious questions to be asked in terms of what the Dáil has been told to date.
Donegal County Council has confirmed that preferred routes have been identified for the 10T road network in the county, with public consultations and presentations to take place later this month. The council says the impact of the plans will vary from property to property and staff from the National Roads Office will contact affected property owners. The 10T liaison team will be available to meet with the affected owners ahead of the planned public consultations. Those consultations take place at County House in Lifford on Tuesday week, February 19th. The Radisson Hotel Letterkenny on Wednesday the 20th and Jackson's Hotel Ballybuffet on Thursday the 21st. Each session will last from 2pm to 8pm. More information about that on our website, highlandradio.com. Meanwhile, residents in Dromore outside Letterkenny are seeking urgent clarification after receiving notification about a proposed road linking the N13 Donegal Town Sligo Road with the dual carriageway as part of that 10T process. At least one person has been told their home may face demolition. Others fear their homes may face a similar fate to make way for the new road. On today's 9 till noon show, residents spokesperson Donal Coyle said this would be the worst possible outcome for the community in Dromore.
Now, the red route is the one that comes in at the top of Lurgie Brack, goes down behind Lurgie Brack School, across the Dromini Road and down through Dromore. There's a large number of dwellings within the 300-metre corridor, and a number of these dwellings obviously will have to be demolished in the Dromore area.
Yeah.
And there was one resident who was in contact with the office in Donegal Town yesterday, and that resident asked the question, is my house safe? And the resident was told, unfortunately, no, it has to be demolished. And looking at where this house is situated, there's no question that there will be a large number of houses which will have to be demolished in that area. As well as that, it is also possible that work at some locations on the route may exceed the corridor identified, and that's going to affect more people. This option will be the one that is going to impact on most residents of any of the routes. And what this new road is going to do is just rip the heart and soul out of a close-knit community in the area. Absolutely, like, there's no question about that, like, you know, because as I say, it's not just one house. There will be a number of houses. And I know there's a meeting in the Radisson Blue Hotel on Monday, Tuesday and Friday, where these are one-to-one meetings to address queries and concerns that people may have.
And that was Donald Cole speaking there to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show today. Almost €680,000 in funding has been approved for local improvement schemes in Donegal. That's down €170,000 on last year's figure. The scheme supports repair works to private roads and lanes that don't fall under Donegal County Council's remit. Donegal Deputy and Laskan Corlap at the Cope Gallagher says there are a number of outstanding applications in the county, and it's essential that more money is provided to address the backlog.
Last year was 850,000, so it was down 20%. However, it's earlier in the year, and I'll be meeting with the Minister during the course of the coming weeks with a view to ensuring that there will be a top-up throughout the year. Donegal County Council have many schemes, and at this rate it could take 10 years to complete all of them if we were to stand still.
Well, Minister Joe McHugh acknowledges the outstanding applications, and he's pledging to seek extra funds from Minister Michael Ring.
There's still a lot of people on the list, but I think it's all about having a plan in place to work on it with the resources available. But I think this is going to do a good number of lanes, and we'll see how it develops over the year. And I was talking to Michael Ring that if money becomes available at the end of the year, it will have to be brought in quickly, because one of the years it came in at a very late date and it was under pressure for the council staff. So it's important to get the money out early, and this is why it's important to have this money released in February.
So you're saying that there still could be a chance for those number of people who have been left without funding today later in the year?
Yeah, and it's important if there's money coming on later in the year that it's September time, which would give a good lead-in time for the council staff. So I'm going to continue to pressurise them on that. I don't have any guarantee that it will happen, but I think it's important for the people who have been waiting now a long time. The LISs were missing for a long number of years, and there is a big build-up, and as a former county councillor myself, I know the value in this.
Minister Joe McHugh there speaking to Catherine Gaffney. Authorities on both sides of the border are being urged to explore the idea of allowing PSNI air support operate over Donegal in emergency situations. The police helicopter based in the north is regularly used to assist the PSNI on the ground with dangerous drivers who fail to stop and other situations. However, Donegal GRA spokesperson Brendan O'Connor said if a high-speed chase ensues, the helicopter resource is lost at the Donegal border. He says in the interests of the community and the safety of police on both sides, this is one border that should be dismantled.
On
the Donegal side, we are so far from Dublin and from our own air support, and situations arise quite regularly with these vehicles that are failing to stop, and they do pose a serious risk to life on both sides of the border. So certainly we would see no reason why it shouldn't be explored that air support, you know, air support comes without the complication of ground crews in relation to jurisdiction or firearms carrying, that it really is only an eye in the sky. It's only gathering evidence. And, you know, there is a precedent set with Irish Air Corps helicopters were involved in firefighting in South Armagh during the summer there in Slieve Gullion, and the RAF have over the years played a part in many air sea rescues in Irish jurisdiction. So surely it would make sense that if that valuable resource is available, to, or even if our helicopter happened to be up in Donegal, which it probably wouldn't be, that both services should share perhaps air support, and it could contribute to tackling this plague, as you say, of dangerous driving, people failing to stop.
And it would be, as you say, in the interest of both the police and the Gardaí equally.
Yes, well, I mean, we are aware that we're in an era of cooperation, and we constantly hear that's been said by senior officers on both forces, and it is of great benefits because, you know, criminals don't recognise the border. So there was talk in the past of a corridor where actually ground pursuits would be allowed to cross over and back, which in fairness was being explored, and that would be very complicated and involve lots of legal issues and sensitivities and political sensitivities. But certainly to have a camera in the sky that's merely gathering evidence and helping guide officers on the ground, it would appear from looking at the outside something that could be achieved relatively simply.
Police are appealing for information following a high-speed cross-border chase overnight. A grey Honda Civic Type R was reportedly driving erratically on the Racecourt Road area of Derry. When it was confronted by police, it fled toward the Donegal border. The driver hasn't yet been apprehended. Laura Donnelly reports.
Police were first alerted to the scene shortly after 10 p.m. last night, and the car subsequently made off in the direction of the border. For the next hour, it drove back and forth between Donegal and Derry at high speed. Both police and Gardaí set up a number of checkpoints in a bid to stop the car. Police were able to get the vehicle stopped using a stinger on the racecourse road. However, the vehicle managed to travel to Clonela, where it was abandoned, and the driver made off at around midnight. Police are urging anyone who may know who was driving the grey Honda Civic Type R last night, if you saw where he ran to, or if you know where he's staying right now, to call the non-emergency number on 101.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Make your Shop LK gift card go further with an additional 20% bonus on all Shop LK vouchers.
It's 5:15. We say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with rugby, and the Ireland side for Saturday's Six Nations game with Scotland shows five changes from the one humbled by England last week. Rob Kearney returns at fullback, with Robbie Hentschel, a late withdrawal, having not trained at Carton House this morning. Chris Farrell will partner Bundy Aki in the centre. Jack Conan and Sean O'Brien, they come in for CJ Stander and Josh Van de Fleer in the back row, while Quinn Roo replaces the injured Devon Toner in the second row. Joe Smith says that Kearney was always going to play at fullback, regardless of Henshaw's fitness situation.
Probably once Gary Ringrose was ruled out, it was going to be trying to keep a little bit of continuity as best we can from past campaigns and try to get as cohesive as we could in a shorter period of time. I think we didn't have the cohesion we would have liked to have had last weekend.
The Scots have made four changes for the game at Murrayfield, with Sean Maitland replacing Blair Kinghorn on the wing. Kinghorn had scored a hat-trick in last week's game against Italy. Elsewhere, Simon Bergen, Josh Strauss and Johnny Gray come in for Willem Nel, Sam Skinner and Ben Toulis. The ladies' side that plays Scotland on Friday has also been named. Ballybofey's Laura Feely retains her place in the starting lineup in the front row. Head coach Adam Griggs has made three personal changes. In comes Emma Hoban, Anna Kaplis and Alison Miller. In motorsport, the Galway International Rally will roll out on Sunday and start the Irish Tarmac Championship Series for 2019. The lineup, which is dominated by R5 cars, shows the most competitive entry that Galway has had in over a decade. Ahead of the trip west, three in a row Donegal International winners Manus Kelly and Donal Barrett will contest the full championship, having this week secured major support from German-based Hyundai Motorsport customer Racing and Apple Green. Manus says they are excited about taking part in the full series this year.
We all anticipated this last year, you know, you've seen the crowds in Donegal International. I was down in Killarney last year, you know, and you could just see that rallying was headed back in the right direction. And I think the R5 series now, you know, a lot of lads are turning to that. You know, Declan and Donna have both turned that way as well this year. And that with the championship going the way it's going, I think it's just going to be a phenomenal time of championship. And, you know, spectators and fans and people alike are just, they're all really enthused but now about what lies ahead. And, you know, when you take over 25 R5 cars lining up and Galway now this weekend, you know, things have really, I suppose, gone back to the real old times when the time of championship was what it was. And people are really looking forward to it, and I'm really looking forward to competing now.
Manus Kelly there in school soccer. Mavill Community College are through to the FAI School Senior Girls National Cup final for the second year running. In this afternoon's semi-final, they beat Ursuline College Sligo 4-1 at the Curragh in Killygordon. Kate McLennan, Niamh McDonald, Megan Havlin and Brona McGuinness scored the goals to set up a final that's against Athlone Community College on the 1st of March. The venue has to be confirmed. It's a return to the final for Mavill, who lost in last year's decider to Champions Presentation Secondary School of Thurles. Elsewhere in soccer cross channel, Spurs' wait to move into their new stadium continues. The club have announced that the North London Derby with Arsenal, scheduled for March the 2nd, will be played at Wembley. Spurs says remedial works at the stadium's safety systems still need completing, while other fire detection and alarm systems also need to be tested. And newly elected UEFA president Alexander Šefčovič is promising an overhaul of European club competition. The Slovenian was elected unopposed today for another four-year term at the head of European football's governing body. After signing a new memorandum of understanding with the European Club Association yesterday, Šefčovič today outlined there would be no breakaway Super League. In other news, Sport Ireland have this week announced an investment of nearly €32 million in national governing bodies for sport, direct athlete support and the local sports partnership network for 2019. It represents a significant increase on the previous year, up nearly €4.5 million. Donegal has been awarded €271,825 under LSP funding, an increase of almost €20,000. Athletes from the county are included on the international carding scheme. Mark English will receive €16,000. Walker Brenton Boyce and badminton duo Chloe and Sam McGee will receive €12,000 each. Paracyclist Katie George-Dunleavy and Eva McChrystal will be given €60,000. Olympic para-runner Jason Smith from Derry gets €40,000, and Ballyshannon-based Sligo swimmer Mona McSherry will receive €12,000. In golf, Michael Ho is the best of the Irish after the opening day of the Honda Vic Open in Australia. The Ballymoney golfer shot a bogey-free 6-under par round of 66. Gavin Moynihan is just a shot behind Ho in 5-under. Paul Dunne is 3-under. The lead in Victoria is held by Nick Flanagan after his 10-under par opening round of 62. In the PGA Tour, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am is taking place this week. Graham McDowell tees off a little later. On the course already is Shane Lowry. It's very early for him. He's at level par after three. Leading the way is Rafa Cabrera-Bello. He's 2-under after three. Finally for this evening, in horse racing, the British Horse Racing Authority have suspended racing there until Wednesday at the earliest. It follows an outbreak of equine flu at the yard of former Grand National winning trainer Donald McCain. The BHA say the disease can take up to 3 days before symptoms are visible, meaning it'll be Sunday at the earliest before they can gather all the necessary information about a possible resumption. The three horses at McCain's yard have all been vaccinated against the disease. Horses from the UK will not be allowed to race in Ireland until further notice, but racing is to continue here at home for now. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here on Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Donal.
Thanks, Kenny. The British Prime Minister says the UK will leave the European Union on time. Theresa May was speaking following Brexit talks in Brussels, which she described as robust but constructive. She says she set out the UK's clear position to secure legally binding changes to the withdrawal agreement, despite the EU repeatedly saying it can't be renegotiated. Mrs. Mrs May is due in Dublin for talks with the Taoiseach tomorrow. She says the negotiations in the days ahead will not be easy.
I've set out very clearly the position from Parliament that we must have legally binding changes to the withdrawal agreement in order to deal with Parliament's concerns over the backstop. What I see and hear from leaders is a desire for us to work together to ensure that we can deliver the UK leaving the European Union with a deal. My work is to deliver Brexit, to deliver it on time, and I'm going to be negotiating hard in the coming days to do just that.
The Education Minister has today been hosting the first in a series of five themed regional meetings with stakeholders in the education and skills sector. The forum at Letterkenny Institute of Technology is the first of a series which give people an opportunity to get involved in discussions. With more detail, here's Catherine Gaffney.
The new statement of strategy for the Department of Education and Skills, which is the focus of the first forum, will set out the key priorities for the sector for the next 3 years. The meeting is an opportunity to discuss the challenges in education and training and to share ideas and feedback with Minister McHugh and officials from his department. Later meetings in the series will focus on a range of other priority policy areas, including higher education and Gaeilge, special educational needs and future skills and Brexit. The forum, which will be chaired by Anne McHugh, Chief Executive of the Donegal ETB, will be attended by representatives of a range of interested bodies and organisations from the education and skills sector.
And it's been claimed that Derry City and Strabane District Council is paying for election leaflets to be distributed to residents at the ratepayers' expense. The printing of the leaflets and postage is reportedly costing thousands of pounds. Councillor Patsy Kelly believes the move is unfair to ratepayers. He says councillors should foot the bill themselves or use other avenues. He's described this as a huge waste of council resources.
I raised this with council. I says, is it not time now that we do it now? Because I don't want council to put a leaflet out for me at the expense of the ratepayer. And I think the other councillors should do the same. It's time we move on from expecting the ratepayer to distribute a leaflet to what gets used once they stand for council. I think time has to move on. We're in the 21st century now and stop expecting the ratepayer to pay for everything.
It's time for the weather forecast, and it'll be dry at first tonight, but rain will spread from the west. It'll become very windy overnight. Moderate southwesterly winds backing south to southwest, increasing strong to gale force and gusty. The rain heavy at times with a risk of flooding. Lowest overnight temperatures 4 to 7 degrees Celsius early on. Tomorrow, Friday, extremely windy with an orange wind warning in effect. Strong to gale force and gusty south to southwesterly winds veering southwest to west with some damaging gusts, especially in the west and north. The rain will clear to scattered showers, some heavy, with a risk of hail and thunder. Afternoon highs of 6 to 8 degrees Celsius. And looking at the main stories in brief this evening, the INMO is dismissing comments from the Health Minister, who said their pay demands would send the public finances into an unsustainable spiral. Nurses say they want a 12% pay rise, which they believe can be met within the existing public sector pay deal. Meanwhile, SELTA has issued a statement saying the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy again today. People are being asked to attend the emergency department only in the case of real emergencies and to contact their GP or GP out of hours service in the first instance. Donegal County Council has confirmed preferred routes have been identified for the 10T road network in the county. Public consultations will take place later this month in Lifford, Letterkenny and in Ballybuffet. Full details on our website, highlandradio.com. Meanwhile, residents in Letterkenny expressing concern that houses in Dromore may be lost. Next news at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 7th of February. The death has occurred at Altmagavan Hospital of William Alexander Lexi McKay. Funeral service in Conwell Parish Church, Letterkenny, on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, followed by burial in Gortley Cemetery. Inquiries to Adair and Neely Funeral Directors, Derry. The death has taken place of Robert Smith, Millgrove Park, Eglinton. His wake will take place on tomorrow, Friday, in the annex of 34 Millgrove Park, Eglinton, from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. House private, please, at all other times. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday at 20 past 12 for service at 1 o'clock in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Racecourse Road, followed by burial in Ballyone Cemetery. No flowers, please, at Robert's request. Donations in memory, if desired, to Foyle Family History Centre, care of W.J. O'Brien and Son Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of William Allen Loughlin, MBE, 46 Church Bray, Derry. Funeral from his late home on Sunday afternoon at 1:15 for service in First Derry Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock, followed by a private committal in Altmagavan Cemetery. House strictly private, please. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu if desired to Ward 42 or Ward 44 at McGovern Hospital. Inquiries to Adair and Neely Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Daniel Callaghan, 44, Close Patrick, Mallon Road, Carndonagh. His remains are en route to Carndonagh Community Hospital, Chapel of Rest. Viewing from 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock tomorrow. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Brendan McFadden, Moira, Falkara. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there on Saturday afternoon to St Finian's Church, Falkara, for Requiem Mass at 1:30, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or McLaverty Funeral Directors, Gortha Hork. The death has taken place of Carmel Maloney, Lochris Point, Ardra, formerly of Morrow, County Sligo. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 12:15, going to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Mina McGettigan, née Keeney, Mill Road, Glenties. Her remains will repose at her home from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon with rosary at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock in St Connell's Church, Glenties, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tomorrow evening and on the day of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Glenties Dementia Daycare, care of any family member. Inquiries to James McGuinness and Sons Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Charlie Gallagher, Upper Keeldrum, Gortha Hork. His remains will repose at his niece Maureen's home in Lower Keeldrum from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there to Christ the King Church, Gortha Hork, on Saturday afternoon for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary nightly at 10 o'clock. Family time, please, from after the rosary until 10 a.m. and before the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of McLaverty Funeral Directors. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Frances Coyle, Glasgow, and formerly of Glasershue, Gwydor. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal to St Columbkill's Church, Knockfalla, tomorrow evening for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations to the Ards Friary Restoration Fund, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty Funeral Directors. Rosary tonight at 9. House private, please, from after the rosary until 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Bridie McHugh, née Boyle, Carntulla, Brooklis, and formerly of Derry's Glenties. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Marguerite and son-in-law Donal McLoone's residence in Glenties until 10 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 12 noon to 10 o'clock. Removal on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. to the Church of St Joseph and St Connell, Brooklis, for funeral mass at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary on Thursday evening at 9 and on Friday evening at 10. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Killybegs Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or John B. O'Donnell Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Ellen Bradley, née Hegarty, Derby, England, and formerly of Mara's Burnfoot. Funeral mass on Thursday, February 14th at 2 o'clock in the English Martyrs Roman Catholic Church, Derby, with burial afterwards in Bolton St Mary's Churchyard. The death has taken place of Margaret McElhinney, 50 Main Street, Clody. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow, going to the Church of St Patrick in Clody for 12 noon Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Maureen McDevitt, 20, Omer Road, Drumquin, County Tyrone. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral tomorrow afternoon with 3 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Cancer Research, care of Sean O'Kane and Sons Funeral Directors. and the death has taken place of Evelyn McMonagall, Bath Terrace Lane, Moville. Her remains are leaving Collins' funeral premises, Coolduff, around now, arriving at St Pius X Church, Moville, at 6 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11, followed by burial in Ballybrack Cemetery.